Morning. Today's daf Menachos Samach Zayin. We're in Samach Vav Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, Chala, Truma, Maisros. Our topic for this morning. It's based on the Mishnah on Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Mishnah continued the process of the Havas Omer, and we harvested on the night of the 16th of Nisan. So the Mishnah describes that there was a ktsira, and then they put it in the kupa, in some sort of baskets. And they brought it into the Azara. And then the Mishnah talked about the roasting process, roasting it while it was in the chaff, roasting it after it was beaten, Machlok's dream, Ramir and the Chachamim back in the Mishnah. And then afterwards, the Mishnah goes on to report that there would be a sifting process. Remember, they started with three saw of barley and sifting and sifting and sifting, and then they got to an Isaron of sifted barley flour. So that means one isaron is a tenth of an epha. In other words, they started off with three saw and epha are equivalent. And so they got down to an isaron. So, just for simple math purposes, 10% of it was used, 90% of it was not used. Okay, that's a lot left over. And of that which was left over, so now what happens? So the Mishnah at the very end describes. The Hashar, this is the end of the Mishnah. Nifteh, so it's going to be redeemed. V'necha l'chol adam, can be eaten by anybody, does not have kedushas aguf. And v'chayv v'chalav patam and a meiser. So according to the Tanakhama, it would be chayv and chalav would be patam from a meiser. According to Rabbi Kiva, v'chayv v'chalav uve meiser, it's chayv is chayv in both chalav and meiser. Okay, so let's take this shita by shita. The Chachamim are going to be a lot easier to explain. Rabbi Kiva is going to be harder to explain. Okay, according to the Chachamim, why is it chayv and chalav? Why is it patam and meiser? So the answer is pretty straightforward. When is there a chiv of chumas and meiser? So that is when production is complete. Meaning, when you harvest any produce and you do what's called meruach hakri. Meruach hakri means it's basically the finishing of the production. So whenever you get to the end of the production of the grain, meaning just by grain alone. So if you're out in the field and you cut in the field, it's not chayv yet in chumas ha-maisros. Only when you harvest it and you go through the entire process vis-a-vis the grain, all the way to the smoothing of the pile. Now, in other words, you have it now in a pile and you smooth it so you know exactly how much is there. Then and only then is a chayv in chumas ha-maisros. Before that, it's not chayv in chumas ha-maisros. Good. Over here, it went through the production in the Beis HaMikdash, but while in the hands of the Beis HaMikdash. And as we're going to be doing in the course of today's daf, it's a big part of today's daf, something, grain, which was in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be potter from Trumas and Maestros. Good. Okay, now, challah. There is a mitzvah of challah that when you have dough, meaning when you take flour and water and you mix them together, and when I say flour of the five grains, so now there is a mitzvah in the Torah to take off challah and to give the challah over to the Kohen. When does the chiyuv of challah begin? When you make the dough. In other words, when the flour and the water are added together. Over here, it was not chayv and challah when it was in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. You, 90% of it now is going to be redeemed and taken by the whoever wants to redeem it. And now, by the way, I could just imagine, it fetches a nice price. Meaning, because, you know, just think as they, you know, as they're looking to redeem it. You know, this is the 90% left over from the Omer. Look how special it is. Anyway,
barley bread,
okay.
Why would you think otherwise that you don't need to take chumas and maaser because it wasn't done in the Beis HaMikdash? So once you take it out, you have to...
No, but in other words, it's a question of when the chiv kicks in. Meaning if the chiv kicks in while it's in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, it's just simply potter. It's a legality. It's a halachic reality that you're only going to be chayv of chumas and maaseros when it's owned by you and I, not by the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and the mitzvah of challah therefore hasn't kicked in yet, and so when you get the barley and now you add water to it, now it's going to be chayv and challah. Okay, that's good. So as far as the Chachamim are concerned, it's very straightforward to explain. Rabbi Kiva admittedly is going to be a little bit tougher to explain. It's going to be chayv in challah and in chayv in chumas ha-maisros. So how can that be? Why that should be? So okay. That's where we're headed to today. That we're going to try to understand that. Challah, how much to take off?
No.
Oh, in other words, you need a certain amount of dough.
Right.
Yeah. Correct. But the assumption is that you almost have three saw of barley. It's enough for the chiv of challah. Okay. Amar of Kahana. I'm sorry. Rabbi Kiva, Mechayev, Bechalav, and Meiser. This is where we left off yesterday. We're right in the middle of Samach Vav Amud Beis. And let's begin. We're going to begin today with a thesis of Rav Kahana. It's going to be difficult to defend. The Gemara is going to end up not being able to defend it. But the following. Omer Hayyar Rabbi Kiva Mirucha Hektesh Eina Poter. And the thesis of Rav Kahana is that according to Rabbi Akiva, when Hektesh does the end of the processing, what's called Miruach. Again, the word Miruach itself means the smoothing of the top of the pile. It's basically now we have finished production. Because when you smooth the top of the pile now, you know exactly how much is there. And so now there's a Chiv of Chumas Maisros. And what the Rav Kahana wants to argue is that according to Rabbi Akiva, Miruach Hektesh is not going to be a Poter. Meaning it's still going to be Chiv of Chumas Maisros. Now, Mesa Rav Sheshes, so on that Rav Sheshes challenge is based on a Braisa. And the Braisa reads like this. Moser, Shalosh Shalin Halalu Maya Osimbo, any of the leftover of the three saw what was done with it, Niftes, redeemed, and Nechal Ochol Adam, V'chai B'chalo Patem and Amaisros. I know it sounds familiar, it should sound familiar, it's our Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Mechai B'chalo V'maisros. And Rabbi Kiva says, V'chai B'chalo Maisros. So far so good, meaning this Braisa over here is a replica of our Mishnah. It's the next point, which is why we're quoting the Braisa. Amru lo, they say to Rabbi Akiva, Pode miad gizbar yochiach. Anytime you redeem any grain from the Beis HaMikdash, so shechai b'chal patam na maisros. Meaning the Chachamim say to Rabbi Akiva, we know you agree with us. You agree with us that whenever you have grain owned by the Beis HaMikdash and you're buying the grain post-production after Miruach, so it's going to be Pater from Chumas Maestros. So how over here can you make the argument that it's going to be Chayv and Maestros when meanwhile you agree with us? Period. Or really, question mark, but in other words, that's the end of the Braisa. V'imisa dimur chektish en apoter, my kamrilei. He. The Gemara says, look, Rav Kahana, how can you make the argument that according to Rabbi Akiva, when you have grain that has gone through production by the Beis HaMikdash, according to Rabbi Akiva, is Chayv and Chumas HaMaisros. Meanwhile, the Chachamim, in response to Rabbi Akiva, say, hey, you know that any grain owned by the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be Chayv and Chumas HaMaisros. So in other words, and clearly, when the Chachamim make this point to Rabbi Akiva, they know Rabbi Akiva's on the same page they are. They know that when grain is produced by the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be Patur from Chumas HaMaisros. And basically, how can Rav Kahana say that Rav Akiva holds otherwise? Va'od. Eisvei Rav Kahana bar Techlifa. L'Rav Kahana, the Gemara says, and we're not done yet. Meaning we're going to ask another question based on another Braisa. Rabbi Akiva mechai v'chal v'maisos l'fish lo nitna maz ela l'tzarech lehen. And now we get to the understanding of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says like this. In this Braisa now, right. When the Beis HaMikdash went to go get their Omer. Now, as we described already before, the Mishnah doesn't talk about the purchasing, but obviously what the Beis HaMikdash is going to do is they're going to be purchasing the grain. Now, when they purchase a grain, what are they purchasing? And the answer is very simple. Only what they need. Of the three sa'ah of barley that we started off with, they only need one isaro. And so what we're going to do, what the Beis HaMikdash is going to do is they're going to take the three sa'ah and they're going to sift it, grind it, and sift it, and sift it, and sift it, all the way now to the where they get the Yisarim, which is just 10% of it, and the other 90%, what Rabbi Akiva now is arguing, and now finally we're going to get a good understanding of Rabbi Akiva, the 90% never belonged to the Beis HaMikdash to begin with. Now,
so what after the Redeemer then?
Oh, okay, good. Huh? Okay, now, perfect. So now, there really are two considerations. One consideration is that in order to say all this, we have to use a principle that we've used many times before. The Gemara doesn't say this, but Tosfos does say it, and that is the principle of Breira. In other words, the principle of Breira tells us that when we originally took in the three sa'ah, which 10% now is going to be used for the Omer? We don't know, meaning yet to be determined. But when it is in fact determined, so we're going to say now retroactively, that was it going back to the time of purchase. Good. So we're going to have to subscribe to the idea of Breira in order to make this argument that the 90% never belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. And on top of that, we're also, I'm going to raise Phil's question, which also Tosfos raises as well, which is if it never was owned by the Beis HaMikdash, so why does it need redemption? And so the simplest answer will be just simply, it's like a Mars sign thing. In other words, it looked like it was in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, and so therefore, for appearance purposes, it's going to go through a pigeon. But in Me'ikar HaDin, it does not require a pigeon. We'll say something along those lines. So, Elam Rav Yochanan Tamud Aruchu Befiv Shal Rabbi Akiva Shal Nina Maos Ela Tzarech Lehen. In fact, Rav Yochanan says Tamud Aruch, meaning, I guess in English you would translate it as everybody knows. Everybody knows that. What is the basis of Rabbi Akiva's opinion? That the grains, the 90% grains that are not used for the Omer, are chayv both in Trumas and Maisos and in Chala, and the reason why is because it never belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. Now that we're here, so now everything Rav Kahana says, we're going to take it back. We're going to take it back. Because Rav Kahana was making the argument that if you did in fact have grain owned by the Beis HaMikdash and gone through production by the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be chayv in Trumas and Maisos, and now we're saying, no, it's not chayv in Trumas and Maisos. And the reason why the Omer is different according to Rabbi Kiva is because it was never owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Good? Amarava. Continuing now in the Gemara, so, Pshita Li. So Rava says, here are things which are obvious to me. Good. So point number one where Rava says, I see this clearly, I don't see anyone arguing the point, and that is that if I have grain that was owned by the Beis HaMikdash, property of the Beis HaMikdash, and then subsequently redeemed, as long as it went through production by the Beis HaMikdash, Meruach HaKri was done while under the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash, it's Pater from Trumas HaMaisros. So that's point number one, unequivocal. And the only reason why Rabbi Akiva says that by the 90% leftover of the Omer, it needs HaFreshes Trumas HaMaisros is only because it was never owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Good, that's point number one, we're done. Moving on to the next point. Meruach Ovi Kochavim Tanaihi. What about if the produce was owned by a non-Jew? If the produce was owned by a non-Jew, Rashi over here writes, "Umishol ovi kochavim kigon." I'm reading the Rashi. Kigon alokech man ovi kochavim dekasavei in kinyan ovi kochavim ve'eretz Yisrael lafkiya miyad ma'aser. What is that issue over here? Is the following? Okay, there is a number of layers of to this discussion, but we're only going to be focusing on one layer, and that is the following. Let's say you have a non-Jew purchasing land in Eretz Yisrael, and right farming land, and he grows grain on that land. So now, is that grain over there going to be chayiv in Trumas HaMaisros, yes or no? In other words, really what the question is just a simple fundamental question. And that is that when the non-Jew owns that land, does he remove Kedushas Eretz Yisrael off that land as he now has ownership of that land? And Rashi says, that is what is at the issue over here. Ein kinyan la'ovei kocham v'eretz Yisrael la'havkiya miyad ma'aser. Meaning the kinyanim that a non-Jew has on land, in other words, you certainly call him the owner, meaning he has ownership rights to the land, but not enough to remove the kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So any grain that grows under his ownership is still going to be chayv in Trumas HaMaisros. At least that is one side of an argument. And the other side of the argument is that no. Once a non-Jew owns land, so that his ownership is going to be so embedded in the land that mamish there will not be kedushas Eretz Yisrael on the land that's owned by him. Correct. In other words, the heta mechira is predicated very much on this. Yes, it's correct. In other words, chayv in Trumas HaMaisros.
Who, the goy?
No. He won't take off. But in other words, but if you buy from him, so you have to take off Trumas HaMaisros. In fact, that's exactly what's coming up. So Tanaihi, the time we learned in the Brisa, turn me Mishael Yisrael, I'll show Yisrael. Sorry. Yeah. Tanaihi. So the Gemara now notes that this, in fact, is going to be a machlokas tanaim detanya. We learned in the Brisa, turn me Mishael Yisrael, I'll show Yisrael. Mishael Ovdei Kochav, Mishael Ovdei Kochav, Mishael Kusim, Mishael Kusim, Mishael Kol, I'll show Kol. Div Reb Meir Reb Yehuda. Okay, so the first opinion of the Braisa is, it's all chayv in Trumas HaMaisros. And when we say all of it, meaning, doesn't matter whether the land was owned by a Jew or a non-Jew or a Kusi, you know, Kusi somewhere in the middle, between Jew and non-Jew. Okay, you're right. But it doesn't matter. Meaning, in Eretz Yisrael, grain, irrespective of who owns the land, is chayv in Trumas HaMaisros. And these are the opinions of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, on the other side of that is Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, and they say, "Tarmi Mishael Yisrael, Shael Yisrael, Mishael of Dikochav, Mishael Kusim, Mishael Kusim, Mishael of Dikochav, Aval Lo Mishael Yisrael, Al Shael of Dikochav, Mishael Kusim, Velo Mishael of Dikochav, Mishael Kusim, Mishael Yisrael." When you have grain that you purchased from a Jew, and by the way, in general, the Jew himself should be taking off the owner of the farm, the owner of the land should be taking off Trumas HaMaisros. But the point over here is as follows: if he did not, and you buy the grain, and you know that this is tevel, and it requires shumas and maisos. Hafresh is shumas and maisos. If you buy from a Jew, if you buy from a non-Jew, they're not the same according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. The grain purchased from a Jew is chayv and shumas and maisos min haTorah. The grain purchased from a non-Jew is not chayv min haTorah, and this is classically known as min achiv ala patur. And minapator alachiv, meaning you cannot be mafish shumas and maishos from grain that's not chayiv minatara onto grain that is chayiv minatara. And so therefore, and the reason why is because according to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rabbi Shimon, these grains that were grown on land owned by a non-Jew are not chayiv minatara in shumas and maishos, and afresh shumas and maishos. Okay, so Rav is basically telling us it's a machlokus. So vis-a-vis when it's owned by the Gizbar, when it's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, not subject to a machlokus. Everyone agrees, even Rabbi Akiva. When the grain, however, is purchased by the land of a non-Jew, machlokus, and the way Rashi sets it up, the machlokus is predicated on the issue of whether or not there's kinyan ovdei kochavim in Eretz Yisrael to be mafkia from Chumas and Maisros. Gilgal Hekdesh. We are now on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now turns its attention to the mitzvah of Afresh Chala. The Beis HaMikdash now started making a dough. Okay, I know it's funny. Like, what are they doing? They right, and they're just selling, and now you have the ability to redeem dough. Okay, but they made a dough. So Gilgal Hekdesh Poter. So Rava continues now, and it says as far as the mitzvah of fresh challah is concerned, if you're buying dough from the Beis HaMikdash, so that dough is going to be poter from the mitzvah of challah. Did none. And here it's a beferish mishnah. It's a mishnah and challah. Higdishu isasa ashlo gilgala upadasa chayev, misha gilgala upadasa chayev, higdisha ashlo gilgala, vigilgala hagizbar, vacharkach padasa, patura shabishas chavasa haitsa patura. And the Mishnah and Chala, and I'm going to say it quickly, the Mishnah and Chala basically says that as long as it was under the ownership of the Gizbar, Gizbar is the CFO of the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, we really mean it was owned by the Beis HaMikdash. As long as it was owned by the Beis HaMikdash, at the time when the Chiyuv Challah kicks in, when you are starting to make it in a dough, water is poured into the flour, and now you start kneading it, that's when the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah kicks in. If at that time it was owned by the Beis HaMikdash, it's Pater from the mitzvah of Challah. Good. By Rav Gilgal V'Kochav Amai. So now, here's what we have. We have a lot of boxes in today's daf. Chumas HaMaisos by Gizbar, if production was done under the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash, Pater, according to everybody. The mitzvah of Hafreshos Challah, Rav says, same thing. Pater, according to everybody. What about Chumas HaMaisos? What about Goy? What about Chumas? Produce that was purchased by a Goy, Zechayiv and Chumas HaMaisos? So we learned earlier, Machlokus between Tanayim. On one side you had Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda who say that it is going to be chayiv in Chumas HaMaisos. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon says it's pater from Chumas HaMaisos min haTorah. What about the mitzvah of Challah? The mitzvah of Hafreshos Challah, when you're buying dough from a non-Jew, so is it chayiv in Challah? Obviously the grain we're describing over here is grain that was grown in Eretz Yisrael. So, misna tanan. So the Gemara says, well, I think that too is a Mishnah. And once again, we head back to the Mishnayos in Challah. The Mishnah Challah says like this, Gershon is gar v'aisa lo isa. Let's say you have a convert. So here we have a wonderful example of somebody who was once non-Jewish and now Jewish, right? In the course of one day. And nasa ashalon is gar pater, mishin is gar chayev. So if the dough was made before conversion, so that dough is going to be pater. Because consider that dough was made by a non-Jew. So that means now that it was at the time of chiyuv, it was owned by a non-Jew, so therefore it's pater. And mishin is gar chayev. If, however, he made the dough after conversion, so then he's going to be chayev. Safek, so chayev. And the case of safek, right? If I may, just to paint a nice picture of what a safek would look like. So in other words, it was a busy day, and there was a lot going on in his mind, and he just converted. And so, in other words, to celebrate his conversion, he made a bread. And now, at the end of the day, as it's about to eat the bread, right, he's excited now. He's going to make a bracha. He's going to wash his hands. Okay, he's a Jew now. But in other words, in the course of the day, he totally forgot. Did I make the dough before or after I converted? Oh my gosh, there was so much happening today. I don't remember. So anyway, it's a suffix. So under those circumstances, it's a suffix daraisa. So you're chayiv. Right. This is not in the distant past. So Rabbi Goldberg gave a chabura after Hashkama, and it was such a great topic. He discussed, if let's say somebody converts, does he have to tovel his own kelim? In other words, those kelim were owned by a non-Jew. Now that non-Jew happens to have been him, but in other words, it was owned by a non-Jew, and now he converted. So does he have to tovel his own kelim? And it's interesting because, as he pointed out in the beginning of the beginning of the shir, like the halacha is not. It's such a basic question, and it's not brought down in the Gemara. It's not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Anyway, all right. Haman ketanila divrei hakol hi. Now at this point in time, here's what Rava wants to argue. That Mishnah Chala. So the Mishnah Chala is very clear, but we don't know authorship. So is that Mishnah Chala that tells us that when the dough was made by a non-Jew, it's putter from the mitzvah of Chala, from Hafreshes Chala? So there are two possibilities. Either number one, man ketanila divrei hakol hi, v'afilu ramei Rav Yehuda kam demechai v'hasam patri hacha. So hasam hu deksiv degancha dechancha yisera havemir rachamir veimir rachamir ela l'rabos afilu av dekochav mavahacha trei zimna riso sechem kasuv chad ariso sechem kidei isaschem v'chad ariso sechem v'lo isas av dekochavim v'lo isas hektesh. I know I just read a lot, but basically here's option number one. Option number one is that, yes, it's true that when it comes to Trumas and Maestros, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda say that whether you buy it from a Jew or whether you buy it from a non-Jew, it's going to be Chayev, but that's because of drushas. And the drusha is, the Torah says, digancha, it says it twice. We know that when you have a double miut, so ein miut achamiut el al rabba, so therefore, the Torah is including the grains bought from a non-Jew, that it's chayv in Trumos and Maestros. Fine. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Chala, and the Torah says, Ariso Seichem, the first time it says it, it's not there to be memai. The first time it says it, it's to tell us the shear. How much dough do you need in order to be chayv in Trumos and Maestros? And again, not for today, and on another occasion we'll talk about the shear. All we need to know, suffice to say for today, is there is a shear. And it's derived from the pasuk of Ariso Seichem. And so that means now that there's only one drasha to exclude the dough of a non-Jew. And there's no miut achra miut. So that means to say now that Mishnah Chala is reflecting everybody's opinion, even Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. That's one possibility. Odilma, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Katanila, de Kapashri, Ava, Rabbi Meir, Rav Yehuda, Gamri, Rashis, Rashis, Mehasam. Or maybe no. Maybe in fact, the halacha of Chala is going to be connected with the halachas of Trumas and Maestros. If you subscribe to the idea that produce purchased from a non-Jew is chayv in Trumas and Maestros, it's also going to be chayv in the mitzvah of Chala as well, and the two are necessarily linked. Either Mishnah Chala, that the convert, when he made the dough before he converted, it's pater in the mitzvah of Chala. It's not going like Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. That Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Good. That is right now, Rava doesn't know. Rava doesn't know if that Mishnah Chala is everyone's opinion, or is it just the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, and not the opinion of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And what does Rava say? I'm going to sleep on this question. I'm a Rava de'achse bechoma. And hopefully what's going to happen is I sleep. Now, the simple way to explain the Gemara is, and I'll have a vision and a dream, and in that vision and the dream, I'm going to get the answer. Now, that's a simple explanation of the Gemara, but obviously that's fraught with issues. Lo b'shamayim hi, the Torah is no longer in the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's now in our domain, and we are the custodians of the Torah, and it's for us to make these decisions. And okay, so that's an issue. If I may, although what I'm saying may not be correct, so just, you know, forewarned everyone, mm-hmm. What I may is that after a good night's sleep, you could just think a little bit clearer, and so maybe that's what he was looking for, although that is not the simple pshat in the Gemara. In any event, I'll sleep on it. Hadar amar Rava, manda amar miruach of dikochavim pater gilgo of dikochavim pater, umanda amar miruach of dikochavim eno pater gilgo of dikochavim eno pater. And he doesn't give a svara, but in other words, but Rava says, the two issues I now believe are linked. So that means that on the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Beis, which we did this morning, so we had a machlokus between the Tanayim. Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are of the opinion that grain purchased from a non-Jew is chayv and Trumas and Maestros. They will also be subscribing to the opinion that it's going to be chayv and Chala as well, even though they're the ones who made the dough. And according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, grains purchased from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael are potter from Chumas and Maestros. And they're also going to be of the opinion that's going to be potter from Challah as well. And the Mishnah and Challah that we learned together this morning is only reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Meir and not Rabbi Yehuda. Eis favor of Papa Larava. The Gemara goes on the attack. Ovekocham Shehifrish Petzach Hamor. V'chala. Let's say you have a non-Jew. And this non-Jew over here is living in Eretz Yisrael. He's so excited. So first of all, he has a firstborn donkey. Oh, I know what to do. I'll redeem my firstborn donkey. And so he takes a sheep, which is the halacha, right? They mentioned in the end of Parshas Bo. So he takes a sheep, and that's the Petr Chamor. That is what's going to be, in other words, the Chamor has Kedusha. Obviously, you can't take the Chamor and offer it on the Beis HaMikdash. It's not kosher. So what the Torah says is that what you do is you take a sheep and you redeem, and the Petr Chamor now serves as the redemption of the firstborn donkey. And with that Petr Chamor, that's part of the Manas Kahuna, it's given over to the Kohen, and Chala. So in other words, I have our guy now having his Petr Chamor and his Chala that he was mafrish. Modino so shuhu Petr v'chalas onechal zarim u Petr Chamor goes as vaveiba. So we simply explain to the non-Jew, look, I'm very happy that you got excited about these mitzvos. They're not your mitzvos. And not only are they not your mitzvos, what you did halachically is nothing. In other words, your petr chamor that you set aside, it's just a regular sheep. It has no kedusha. You could do giza, you could do avoda with it. Your challah that you separated, please enjoy it. In other words, it does not have kedusha challah. It can be eaten by a zar. Okay, now, The Braisa that we just quoted over here tells us that when a non-Jew does either Petr Chamor or Challah with either the donkey he owned or the grain that he owned, so it does not have any Kedusha. You'll notice that the Braisa over here gave two examples, but deliberately two examples. One, the example of firstborn donkey, and two, the example of Challah. Do you notice what was not described over here in this Braisa? Trumos Maestros. And now Rav Papa is going to say to Rava, I'm curious, why wasn't Trumas and Maestros brought up over here? Ha Trumas Asura. V'ha ha'itana damar miruchav v'kochav v'minopata v'gilgo v'kochav v'pater. So now Rav Papa says to Rava, according to you, Rava, the issues are linked. If there is a chiyav Trumas and Maestros, there's a chiyav chala. If there's a patur Trumas and Maestros, there's a patur chala. And meanwhile, this Braisa, now again, the Braisa doesn't say it super clearly, but it's pretty clear that the Braisa over here is only talking about Challah of a non-Jew, and the Braisa doesn't talk about Trumas and Maestros. Seemingly now the issues are split. And so, Rava, that's not, you're not happy with that. And that's number one. Number two, Va'odei say Ravina la Rava. Another attack on Rava by Ravina. Challah so v'kochav v'eretz v'trumaso b'chutz la'aretz. So if a non-Jew takes off Challah in Eretz Yisrael, or Truma outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now listen carefully, because it says outside of Eretz Yisrael. The diuk is coming from that. So Modino Soshu Pater Chalason Echalas Lazarim V'Trumas Reinu Medamas. So once again, we say to the non-Jew, look, it's very nice that you got excited about these mitzvos. They're not your mitzvos. And there's no obligation. So the Chal that you took off, it's fine. The Truma that you took off, also fine. It's not Truma. It can be eaten by non-Kohanim. Now, but you'll notice, though, it says truma. What kind of truma? Truma coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, ha truma so be'aretz asura umidama'as. So truma in Eretz Yisrael is both asur and it creates dimua. Meaning if that truma gets mixed in with chulin, so now that has the status of dimua, and we all know that when you have dimua, so it's kind of, it's not the worst thing in the world, meaning, but you can't sell it to a non-Kohen because he can't eat it. Selling it to a Kohen, what does he want to buy a truma when he can get it for free? So in other words, basically you're going to sell it at a really at a deep discount. But anyway, what are we seeing again for a second time now? And meanwhile, what just happened over here, Rava, do you see what just happened? That when it comes to the challah of a non-Jew, that in fact is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of challah. Meaning the grain and the dough produced by a non-Jew is not chayev in challah. There's no hafreshes challah. And meanwhile, with Trumas and Maestros, there is a chiyuv of Trumas and Maestros. The Braisa was only talking about Truma of Chutz La'aretz, which in of itself, I didn't explain that well. But for our purposes right now, let's just keep everything nice and focused. But the truma in Eretz Yisrael is chayiv, so that means that anything that purchased from a non-Jew is chayiv and trumas ha-maisros in Eretz Yisrael. And so once again, Rava, you're telling me the issues are not split, and I'm showing you now for a second time the issues are split. Okay, so once again now, this is difficult for Rava. So the Gemara gives a five-word answer in defense of Rava. It's the last line of the Amud. So the Gemara says, Midrabanan gzera mishum balakisim. So the Gemara says it's a din derabanan, meaning min ha-Torah. If you subscribe to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, as we learned at the beginning of Shir today, and you say that the grain of a goy in Eretz Yisrael is not chayiv and shumas ha-maisros, so you're also going to say it's not chayiv and challah. And in fact, Rava says, let's even say that that's the accepted position. Good. Fine. And so now that means that anytime that you go over in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jewish farm and you're buying produce, as long as it's gone through production, so it's not going to be chayv and shumas ha-maisros, so it's not, and if you're buying dough from him, it's not going to be chayv and challah. Good. And now Rava says in his defense, what about the brises that we just learned together? Two brises back to back that say that there is a chiyuv of trumas ha-maisros when you're buying it from a guy, answers Rav in his defense, gzera mishum balakisim, it's a gzera because of people with a lot of money.
Let me first
explain this, and then I'll pause. Okay. And Rashi over here gives two explanations, Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. I'm going to just give the second explanation in Rashi. Okay? And I think, right, we can all understand. Okay, obviously you pay your taxes and you're supposed to pay your taxes. You should be paying your taxes, right? Speak to all of us, right? But in other words, you go to a good accountant, and what the good accountant is going to do is he's going to be able to shelter your taxes. And so over here now, consider, says the Gemara, well, trumas and maisers, basically it's a taxation. Okay, good, but in other words, it's also a mitzvah, but it's taxation. And in any given year on the farm, you're going to be losing over 20% of the grains. I say losing. You're not losing. You're fulfilling a mitzvah of the Torah. But, but that's a bite. So what if there's a way so that you don't have to give off trumas and maisros? Okay, so what do you do? So it's very simple what you do. So what you're going to do now is that, I'm saying over the second pshat of Rashi, so if you own a lot of property and you have a lot of grain and it's 20% and you don't want to give it up, so before you arrive at the point of production, before Meruach HaKri, you sell it over all to the guy, allow it to go through the production through the Meruach while it's in the possession of the guy, then you buy back from him. Obviously, you'll give him a consideration. Okay, thank you very much. And now, may Iker Hadin, meaning I know it's a loophole, but it's a legal loophole. It works. So may Iker Hadin now, all that is not going to be Chayv and Shumas and Maestros. So the Chachamim were concerned that people were going to engage in such behavior. And so therefore, Zegzera Derabanan, people are... So the Chachamim said that even as you're buying produce from a non-Jew, it's going to be Chayv and Shumas and Maestros. We didn't want people to avail themselves to such a legal maneuver.
How come investment before is a sanction that you actually can sell interest to non-Jew and then that you exempt from before?
Right. Well, the Bechor issue, which we'll talk about later, when I say much later, the beginning of Bechor, so because that's fraught with problems, meaning if we do allow the animal to become a Bechor, so we have an animal that's a carbon with no Beis HaMikdash, and so that generates its own set of problems. So therefore, their avoidance is to avoid problems. Over here, avoidance is just simply to avoid having to pay your trumas and maestros.
So this is a rumble. We have examples of this.
Oh, okay, good.
Time.
Perfect. Like perfect.
Even bringing the produce in through a window as opposed to the front door.
Okay.
Why are we excited about this?
Okay, good. And what you're doing is you're forecasting the upcoming Gemara. Okay, good. Okay, good. Oh, wonderful. All good.
One question. When, if the land belongs to Ben Israel, how could they go and have any
okay,
land?
No,
how do you produce anything?
They bought land in Eretz Yisrael.
They can?
I mentioned earlier. In other words, there are a number of layers to this discussion of a non-Jew owning land in Eretz Yisrael. So we're just focusing on one aspect of it, and that is whether or not there's kedusha in the produce, whether there's a chiyuv of trumas and maestros. The Gemara says, Yahachi afilu chala nami. So the Gemara says, okay. So basically, as Gzeira D'Rabbanan, so even though Me'ikar Adin, it's not Chayv and Trumas and Maestros, but the rabbis demanded that you're still going to take off Trumas and Maestros when you buy produce from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they do the same thing by challah? Now remember, we quoted now two braces at the end of the previous amud that says that by challah it's pater. Why? Meaning, if we're worried about people availing themselves to tax shelters, legal tax shelters, but tax shelters, so why are we worried about challah? Now, I would have said, the Gemara doesn't say this. Now, I would have said, consider that when you're talking about Trumas and Maisos, that's over 20% of your produce, which is now headed to not you. So 20% is a bite. How much is challah? So it depends whether or not you're a baker or whether you're a balabas. But at most, challah is going to be 4%. Okay, so, right. But still, right? 4% is still 4%. So, Yachi afilu chalanami, efshad afila pachos mechameshes ravaim kemach. So, first of all, the Gemara says, look, if you want to get out of challah, the Gemara says there are other ways to get out of challah. Meaning, so, it's true that people could use this kind of tax shelter to get out of fresh challah, but there are other methods as well. You make the dough in small increments. There's only a mitzvah of challah when you have a certain amount of dough. Again, not today. I'm not going to go over how much that is. But in other words, but you have to make a certain amount of dough. In fact, the second time in today's daf we described it, right? Isas arisosechem isaschem has to be a certain amount, and you make it. You bake it in quantities less than that amount. You're not chayv challah. So the reason why the Chachamim didn't create a gzera derabanan to avoid sheltering challah is because people can avail themselves to sheltering from the mitzvah of challah in other ways. The Gemara says, "Trumanami avshadavi leked ravoshia." So the Gemara says, "Really? So if there are other ways to avail themselves to sheltering from challah, you know there are other ways to avail yourself from sheltering from trumas and maisos as well." Says the Gemara, and the Gemara quotes this numerous times. "Am ravoshia amarim adam atvaso machnitsa b'motshala kedeshete behemta ochelas upeturim in a maiser." When you bring the grain into your house and you bring it in while it's still in the chaff, so then those grains are not going to be chayv in trumas and maisos. Why should that be? See Rashi over here. See Rashi elsewhere where he discusses the various reasons why. All I need to say for today's daf is it's correct, meaning it's going to be exempt. So therefore, people can easily help themselves to exemptions. And so the Chachamim are going to ban one avenue in order to shelter, but there are other avenues in one which one can shelter. What would be the point in that? But the Gemara explains beautifully. The Gemara says, "Inami da'ayov la derech gagos v'derech karfifos." And the Gemara says, and also, if the produce is brought into the house, but not through the front door, but it's brought in through the back door, it's brought in through the rooftop. Also, again, without it going through without the details of why. It's pater from Trumas and Maisos. So there are other ways. If a person is really interested in getting out of Trumas and Maisos, there are other ways to do it. But the Gemara explains beautifully. The Gemara says, Hasan b'farhesya zila b'amilsa, hacha b'tzina lo zila b'amilsa. So the Gemara says like this. Look, if a person is going to go through the trouble of bringing the grain into his house, either while in its shaft, or basically loading it through the roof instead of through the front door, so basically the neighbors are all looking at him and saying, oh, look at that guy. That guy. That guy is going out of his way to avoid and paying off his trumas and maisos, and he's doing so in a public manner, and so no one's publicly going to say, hey, I don't pay taxes. That's me, right? I don't. In other words, no one's going to do that publicly. So if in these manners of motes and Gog and Karfif, they're all public, and so the public shame usually will be a deterrent enough. However, if all you need is a transaction between a Jew and a non-Jew, where basically, look, all this produce in my property right now, we're right before production, we're right before Meruach. So he'll go over to a non-Jew and they'll sit in an office and they'll do a transaction. Now he's the owner and now production will be finished and now it'll be sold back to a Jew. All this can be done without a lot of fanfare. And it would be a private way of trying to get out of Trumas and Maisos. And so therefore, the Chachamim said, this is an avenue we have to cut off. Because if we don't cut off this avenue, people will avail themselves to it. It's done b'tznius. It could be done very privately. And people would use it if given the opportunity. And that's why the Chachamim cut off that avenue. Let's quickly recap today's daf. And by challah, since it could be done privately, so therefore there would be no point in the Chachamim. Correct. Absolutely correct. There'd be no point in the Chachamim trying to make a gzera derabanan when people can do it easily and do a bit sinner. Okay, over the course of today's daf, we discussed the Rabbi Kiva of our Mishnah that the 90% of the Omer that's not used, the unused portion, it's Chayiv and Shumas Maisos and Chayiv and Chala. But now we know what's the basis of Rabbi Kiva. Rav Kahana thought one way, but the Gemara refuted Rav Kahana. The basis of Rabbi Akiva is it never belonged to the base of Mikdash to begin with, that 90%. We talked earlier this morning, it could be predicated on the idea of Brera, but in other words, it never belonged to the base of Mikdash. Fine. In the meantime, however, the halacha is like the Chachamim, that the 90% is going to be Pater from Chumas and Maisos. It did belong to the base of Mikdash. What about Chala? It is Chayv and Chala, and the reason why is because the base of Mikdash didn't make the dough yet. The dough was made by after it was Nifta, after it was redeemed, and therefore it's going to be Chayv and Chala. And that led us to the discussion in the course of today's daf. Certainly, Rava says, Pshitali, it's obvious that Meruach Hektish is going to be Pater from Chumas and Maisos, but what about Meruach Hagai? Is it going to be Pater from Chumas and Maisos? Machlokis Tanaim. Rami and Rav Yehuda say that land owned by a goy in Eretz Yisrael is in fact going to be chayiv in Shumas Maisros, the produce that comes from the goy, and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say it's going to be pater from Shumas Maisros. What about Chala? So Rava was not sure. Rava was not sure whether that too is a machlokus. Or maybe, according to everyone, the chala of a goy is going to be pater. Rava slept on it. Rava woke up the next morning. Hainu hach. The two issues are connected. If you subscribe to a chiyuv of Shumas Maisos, you subscribe to a chiyuv of chala. If you subscribe to patur, you subscribe to patur. What the Gemara now notes is that, assuming the halacha goes like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that the produce from a goy is going to be pater from Shumas Maisos. What about a number of braces of Gemara quoted on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph on the bottom, where by Chala it's Pater, by Chumas and Maisos it's going to be Chayiv? What do you do with those braces? Answers the Gemara, that's a Gzeira Derabanan. May Iker Hadin, since the production was done while under the ownership of a Goy, it's really going to be Pater, but if that's true, then people will be able to use the Goy as part of a way of sheltering himself from having to pay Chumas and Maisos. And so the Chachamim blocked it off. Either other ways to shelter. There are not discrete ways of sheltering. And since this is a discrete way of sheltering, so the Chachamim made a gzerah.